the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
And Gabe.
Thanks to all of our patrons for supporting the show, supporting what we do through the show, all of the community service we can do through our Stop the Bleed program and safety and security training programs for civic organizations. We appreciate your guys' support helping us benefit our communities and your communities through your Patreon supportage. If you're not supported, is that a word? Supportage?
No.
Support?
Patronage, maybe.
Patronage? Maybe I was combining both.
Yeah.
We're going to go with it. Through your patronage. There you go. That sounds better. Okay. So if you're not a patron and you listen to the show and you get something out of it, please contribute. It helps us keep the show going. If you like the show and you want the show to continue, it's not free for us to do this. It takes our time. It takes resources for us to do this. And we would really appreciate your patronage to keep the show growing and going. We appreciate it. Upcoming for Independence Training Alumni, April 9th. That's tomorrow night. $20 from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. We're going to have Doc Kyle, who was on the show with us several months ago, or a year ago, I don't know, talking about, I think he was on the show talking about physical mobility and dexterity and maintaining flexibility and all that. And now he's going to do a thing just for our alumni. So, you know, we got 70 fucking people or whatever out to the last alumni event where we got to shoot for free. Can we at least get half of that to this event? We're about,
I think we're at 24.
Yeah, right, we're getting there, but pretty weak that we cannot fill up the 40 slots. So I'm kind of disappointed, but at least we're more than we were last week. So 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the 9th. You'll get all the details if you enroll through the website. It's $20. It's a great opportunity to come out and learn how to be more flexible, more mobile, maintain that mobility throughout, you know, whether you're young, old, physically injured, whatever it is, come out and learn from someone who literally professionally teaches this. It's a critical skill to have. All right, what do we got for news here? We have, oh my gosh, Idaho father who killed neighbor's family after their teen son exposed himself to his wife and daughter, sentenced to life in prison. An Idaho judge has sentenced a Kellogg, Idaho man, Marjoron Kaler, who shot and killed a family of four last June to life in prison without the possibility of parole. This event is a particularly heinous event. You've taken four individuals from this community based on your decision, Shoshone County District Court Judge Barbara Dugan said to Kaler before handing out his sentence. So here's basically what happens, right? So there's this neighbor kid, Devin, and he has, and I quote, exposed himself, shaking his penis and masturbating through a ground floor window in front of Kaler's wife and daughters. So Kaler then snaps during the argument with this guy's parents. He confronts the mother and his grandfather on their back porch, but an argument ensued over whether or not Kaler's concerns were being taken seriously. He killed those two outside, barged into the house, and then shot and killed the kid. Oh, another 16-year-old boy and the kid, who they found dead on his knees in the bathroom with multiple gunshot wounds to the head. Kaler claimed Devin had exposed himself to his family at least thrice. That means three times. I don't know what the fuck they said thrice in a Slater
fucking 1600.
SlateReport.com.
Thrice item. He masturbated from the window.
And he repeatedly called the cops over Devin's behavior, but they didn't do anything about it. Judge Dugan said Kellogg police officers took a report on June 13th. If something happens again, I'm not going to call you guys. All right, here's the important part about this story. There's two very valuable things here, right? The first valuable thing is don't think that the system that – here's something that blows my fucking mind. It's like when we're teaching medical classes and we go, all right, guys, anybody who trusts the government, go ahead and raise your hand. And nobody raises their hand. And we're like, all right, so you guys don't trust the government? No. But what's your emergency plan?
Call 911.
Call 911. And that's the government. Oh, no, but those are like cops and my brother's a cop. That's really fucking cool, dude. But guess who he works for? The government. As an individual, a law enforcement officer, a firefighter, an EMT, whatever, may be a good person. They may want to genuinely help. They are handcuffed, absolutely handcuffed and restricted to do the job effectively because of the bureaucracy they have to work within. So thing number one is don't rely on the quote-unquote authorities, and I'm using air quotes for those of you who can't see, don't rely on the authorities to get you what you're after, whether that's staying alive or seeing justice or whatever. It's not going to fucking happen. In fact, if you involve the cops in your life, there's a good chance you're going to somehow end up in trouble. The second part of the story is you don't know how fast or how far someone's going to go and how fast they're willing to get there. We say that in our training. We've said it on the show over and over and over again. You don't know how far someone's willing to go and how fast they're willing to get there. And in this case, this is how far someone's willing to go. The guy literally goes and confronts him on the porch, ends up killing the mom, kills a grandfather, goes inside, kills two freaking, you know, teenagers, all over the fact that this guy is doing inappropriate shit. I'm not agreeing with the kid doing inappropriate shit. I'm saying he should be punished. Should his whole family be killed? I think that's a little over the top. You don't know how far someone's willing to go and how fast they're willing to get there. In any confrontation or altercation you have, assume that the opposing party is willing to go all the way to something like this. That's an important thing to consider. There's another example of that. Man, I don't really fucking know how to say all these goddamn people's names. Investigators say video from a July 22 event shows Nikolai Mui, I don't know, being pushed and hit by a group of tubers on the river before he stabbed five people, killing 17-year-old. Boy, the victims range in age from 17 to 24 and were from Wisconsin and Minnesota. So this 54-year-old guy is cruising down the river. He's got snorkel on, and the group of tubers, who are made of mostly young individuals, are accusing him of trying to look at young girls underwater, but he's telling them he was looking for a friend's missing cell phone. So they end up, they're slamming into him, they're bumping into him, they're being mad and upset and whatever. There's a whole video of the altercation. And then he comes out of the fucking water and starts stabbing them all. I mean, again, you don't know how far someone's willing to go and how fast they're willing to get there. So there's a couple points to that. Point number one is be prepared to fight. If you're going to go, if you're going to have an altercation with someone, especially if you're going to seek it out, if you're going to start the fight, as it were, you have to be prepared for it to go all the way. You have to be prepared for it to go all the way. If you're going to yell out on someone, like I'm watching the fucking video right now. It's crazy, right? It's just crazy, dude. Just fucking, yeah. Massive altercation here. It's a crazy video. If you're going to go around, like even if you're just going to yell, fuck you, bitch, or something like that outside of a bar at some idiot who almost ran you over, you have to be ready for it to go all the way. I'll give you guys a personal example of like something that happened one time. We were on a family run. Bunch of little kids, us. We all have our little flashing lights on. Everything's going great. We were running across like an inlet to an apartment complex, and this fucking car comes screaming into the inlet, right? Like does not even look, does not see us, literally almost takes out a couple of the kids. So I'm like, hey, motherfucker. And the guy slams on his brake and jumps out. Now, I'm willing to take this as far as it needs to go. But as soon as the guy turned and got a good look, and I took about three or four fucking rapid steps toward him. He's like, hey, don't call me motherfucker. I'm like, you almost ran over my kid, you stupid motherfucker. And he's all like, oh, shit. Like, this guy would be willing to take it as far as this needs to go. So he jumps in his car and he fucking speeds away. That's the appropriate reaction. Because, yeah, man, you almost just ran over my kids. Yeah. Now, this fucking limp dick motherfucker probably doesn't have kids. Probably can't convince a woman to have sexual intercourse with him. Or probably he's fucking, you know, seedless son of a bitch because he does too many drugs or whatever. So fucking be it. He doesn't understand what it's like to be a dad, almost watch some fucking limp dick motherfucker take your kids out because he's not paying attention because he's too busy watching fucking hentai porn on his fucking, you know, phone. So it's like, you don't know how far someone's willing to go and how fast they're willing to get there. Yeah. Like, that's a dude I'll bury in the fucking desert. I'll make him disappear off the fucking planet. Like, no fucking doubt. You do not get to fucking put my family at risk. So I look at this dad who killed these other people, and I'm like, I don't agree with it. But on a level, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, the guy even kind of said, like, he went through the system.
Well, several times.
And
thrice.
Thrice he went through the system.
Thrice he cried out, and thrice he was denied.
Yeah, really good usage of the word thrice in this article. I will give him that. But, I mean, you know, we see this time, like, that kid who a couple months ago in New York killed that dude that raped his girlfriend or whatever, right? Young kid.
Yep.
You know, tried to do the thing,
Tried to go through the system.
Got no help.
And cops wouldn't do anything.
Made a bad call objectively, but, you know, same kind of shit. It's like, I don't know why people rely on that shit to begin with, but they do, so.
The point being is you just don't know how far someone's willing to go and how fast they're willing to get there. So mind your fucking P's and Q's. Because I hear people, you know, yelling out things like, hey, motherfucker, and stuff like that. It's like, you don't know who you're yelling at. Even me in my little story there, right? I don't know who I'm fucking yelling at. That guy could climb out and be some hard-hitting, you know, gangster motherfucker. I have no idea. You know, I'm willing to take that chance because the dude almost ran over my kids. I'm not going to say nothing.
Yeah.
But my point being is, you, like, if you're going to have that kind of, you know, what do they say, an eagle mouth and a canary ass, right? Like, if you're going to have an eagle mouth, you better have a fucking eagle ass. You know, you better be able to fucking stand up and fight for yourself. Or if you're going to say, I'm going to be the one to protect my family, you better be able to fucking protect them. If you're the one who's going to say, I'll lay down the fucking violence, you better be able to fucking lay down the violence. Because what I can guarantee you is there is someone on this planet who will lay down the violence faster and harder than you will. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Or at least have it in your mind, because we see so many videos of like these simple interactions of a gas station argument and then just someone gets stabbed or shot 10 fucking times. And it's like, I bet that person never even stopped once and thought, man, this might be my last 30 seconds on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Over a fucking parking spot or whatever. Obviously, in your case, like the kids, that's different. But it's like, people just don't think about that shit. It's
nope.
That you might be the fucking straw that breaks the camel's back for this person.
And the other problem is kind of what you guys are talking about, is the fact that when you're like, hey, you bring it to their attention, and then they stay quiet up until you're past that point of you're either getting in your vehicle or whatever. I had an incident the other day. I was Mila and I were walking out of Target, and we're walking across the street, and there's a stop sign for vehicles to stop so people can cross the road. And some dumb bitch not fucking paying attention is driving through the stop sign, and Mila and I are walking across the street. And I'm like, hey, the fuck are you doing, you dumb bitch? Stop. You have a stop sign. So then she like slams on her brakes. We continue. We get to the Forerunner, which is the very first space right in front of Target. And as she goes, once we are cleared, she rolls down her window and says something. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So I turn around. I start walking to her vehicle. And of course, as soon as now I'm like yelling back at her, she fucking speeds away super fast. Like, oh, I got one on you. It's just, these people have no repercussions for their stupid fucking behavior.
So people don't get punched in the fucking face anymore.
They have no repercussions. So then they keep doing the shitty things that they're doing because they're emboldened by their shitty fucking behavior.
And this is what happens, right? That kid is thrice masturbated through the portal of the house. I'm just saying that as many times as
using it quite
possible,
a bit
dude.
Now.
Yeah. So, and here's this dad saying, like, dude, you guys have to do something. Well, we can't. Well, we don't have enough evidence. Well, this, well, that. And then I can imagine this guy's rage when he comes home and, you know, probably, I don't know the exact how it happened, right? And his wife's like, honey, that fucking kid did it again. And I looked up and he's beating his dick outside the window, right? And this is thrice he's now done this with no repercussions, all right? And the father's like, there will not be a catorce. I don't know. What's
I don't know. What's a fourth?
What is that?
Quad.
There will not be a...
That's not old-timey enough.
Oh, my God. Now I have to look it up thrice.
Hold on a second. Just write, what's
is it correct
thrice?
To say thrice? Three times is the more standard and typical. Hey, fuck you, thrice.net. There's a thrice.net.
This shit is
serious. Oh, it's for a band. It's for a band. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Thrice is a band. I used to listen to them all the time.
Thrice is an American rock band from Irvine, California, formed in 1998.
I like Thrice. Hell, yeah. They're a good band.
All right. Thrice is three times. Yes. How is it? Yeah, I don't
what's
know.
After
I'm looking for the fourth.
Thrice.
Yeah, there you go. What is it? What's after thrice? What's the answer, Drew? Nothing comes after thrice. God damn it! However, some terms have been claimed to continue the sequence, including quince, frise, forise, quarse, and quadrise. Ooh, I like quadrise. That sounds sexy. Quadrise.
Okay.
Thrice or quadrise? Or maybe they're trying to say quadrice, but that doesn't sound cool.
No, it sounds
I'm going
with
quadrise. Quadrise. All right. This will not happen. A quadrice. I don't know how to use that in context. This thrice he has masturbated, my dearest. There will not be a quadrice. There you go. And then he goes out.
Got the blunderbuss.
And he confronts. Yeah, he gets loads of blunderbuss with fucking shot and nails. And he goes over to the neighbors and he says, "Hey man, this has happened. What the fuck?" And I'm sure the guy is angry. And then this bullshit happens. And the mom and the granddad are going, "Oh, we don't know because they're shitty fucking people. Obviously raising this fucking piece of shit."
How are you letting this kid jerk off in front of people's windows?
And they're going, "Well, you didn't even know better, dude." And then he's going, "Fuck you." And there's back and forth. And finally, he's like, "God damn it."
Yeah.
And then he just fucking snaps. As he said, "I just fucking snapped." And who knows, right? Like you said, you don't know what this day this guy's had, right? He's been getting fucked on for a week by his boss. He's been dealing with this horse shit from some fucking client. He's been, you know, who knows what he's dealing with personally. And then he's got to deal with this motherfucking shit. Like, dude, I feel this guy.
No, it's like
I fucking feel it.
It's like most of these incidents, honestly, it's like objectively, yes, bad call. Could I see how you could get there? Yeah. Absolutely.
You know I mean? I can empathize.
100%.
I'm not saying I'm going to do it.
Right.
But I'm saying I can empathize.
Right. You see, you can understand how we got to that point.
And because I can empathize with people like that, it's part of the reason I carry a gun.
Yeah.
Because I can empathize with people who just on their worst possible fucking day make decisions like
that.
Like that.
Yeah.
And now you may have to defend yourself against someone that you didn't mean to offend so greatly.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the idea of you don't know how far people are willing to go and how fast they're willing to get there. And don't fucking forget that. Here's an interesting story. A high-level Iowa hospital systems administrator has admitted to stealing a co-worker's identity and posing as him for more than 30 years. On top of using his identity to commit crimes and rack up debt, his elaborate identity theft scheme led to his incarceration after he accused his victim of identity theft and Los Angeles authorities failed to detect which man was the true William Donald Woods. Now the guy pretending to be William Donald Woods could face up to 32 years in prison and must pay a $1.25 million fine. They met in about 1988 when they worked together at a hot dog stand in New Mexico. For the next three decades, the shithead took on Woods' identity in every aspect of his life, including when obtaining employment, insurance, a social security number, driver's license, titles, loans, and credit, even paying taxes. He even got married and had a kid using this guy's name.
Wow. So does the original guy have to pay for child support now?
Not even my kid. He apparently hatched a scheme in 1990 when he was working at a newspaper carrier for the Denver Post. That's when he first obtained an identification document in Woods' name. The next year, he bought a vehicle for $600 using two checks in Woods' name. After both checks bounced, he absconded with the stolen vehicle to Idaho, where the car broke down. He abandoned it. As a result, an arrest warrant was issued in his name when the original guy moved to Oregon, and boom, just like that, the guy gets arrested years and years later. Over the next decade, he earned about $700,000 as this other guy. Holy shit. All kinds of crazy shit, right? LAPD fucking couldn't detect it. Iowa detectives finally uncovered it. Iowa detectives. Imagine that. Imagine that, LAPD. Imagine being shown up by Iowa. Imagine, LAPD, you fucking faggots, being shown up by Iowa and by anyone in Iowa. Anybody in Iowa being better than the LAPD.
I have to turn your volume down. You're so loud.
Like the pinnacle of law enforcement. LAPD and the
that's probably Iowa the detective. Biggest fucking case in all of Iowa history. You got some detective that's like working like, I don't know, corn theft cases, and then this gets dropped on his desk, and he's like, fucking finally.
Finally, man.
I get to do my fucking job.
So Privacy Mike sent some tips on this. Check your credit reports regularly for signs of identity theft. Look for accounts you didn't open and mailing addresses that aren't yours. You can get free reports from annualcreditreport.com. Consider freezing your credit reports and only unfreeze temporarily when applying for new credit. There are three credit bureaus, and they will let you create accounts for their websites, and then you can freeze and unfreeze on demand. You have to freeze all three separately. If you don't want to freeze your credit, it's a good idea to create those accounts to plant your flag to prevent someone else who knows your SSN and personal info from making those accounts. So it's a good idea to go to the bureaus, make those accounts. That way someone else who gets your information can't make those accounts on your behalf. Freezing your credit doesn't impact your existing credit cards or loans. Freezing only prevents new lines of credit. So there's some interesting tips from Privacy Mike just about that particular news story. And just, you know, really checking and making sure. I try to check my credit report at least once a month. Once a year. And I just check on it just to see what's going on. Like, hey, did I forget about an account? Do I need to close this account? Is someone using my information? Hey, what's this address? Those are all things that can help you tie into identity theft. The tough thing about identity theft is unless you can find the people and take them to court,
nothing's ever going
to
happen.
Nothing is going to happen. Like, you have to find them.
Yeah.
And in this case, the guy was pretty retarded about it and he got caught. But, like, you have to find these people and you have to be able to take them to court. You have to be able to have them arrested, which is just a crazy situation.
It's like that movie with Melissa McCarthy. Identity Theft. Did you ever see that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's fucking hilarious. She essentially, it's the guy from Horrible Bosses.
Okay.
And she racks up all this shit and is living this crazy lifestyle in Florida. And then the way he finds out is he is broke one day. All his cards are maxed out. He goes to get gas, doesn't work. And then he gets a call from Florida for like a hairdresser, like, hey, your appointment. And he's like, what the fuck? And then he goes on this big crazy trip to find her, eventually arrests her and brings her back. But it's funny as shit.
Oh, I haven't seen that. All right, so independence training gear moment for this week is securing your slings and mounts. This is something, man, do we cover this in class. And I mean, I can literally stand there in the beginning of a class. It just happened yesterday. We can stand in front of a class and go, hey, part of the administrative load is checking your slings and checking their mounts and giving them a good yank and pull and making sure that everything is good to go so that your slings don't come loose. And everyone's like, And you're like, all right, cool, now do it. First fucking shooting exercise we had yesterday, boom, fucking sling mount blows off. Why? What happened? Key mod mount didn't get locked down appropriately. It's an honest mistake. It fucking happens. But if you don't check your shit, if you don't realize it's wiggly, if you don't blue Loctite that shit, if you don't make sure that you didn't, you know, miss the hole in key mod or miss the twist in M-lock or something, your shit's going to fall off. And when slings come apart, I mean, we see rifles hit the deck. Like, you have got to make sure that your slings are properly secured. Double check the slings themselves in addition to the mounts. Check the QDs. Those QDs do wear out. If they're having a hard time locking into place, replace them. It's a $15 part or whatever, right? Replace it. Check the slings. Check the nylon. Check the webbing. Make sure that it's double, even triple back through the buckle, and definitely tape that shit up. Any loose ends, tape them. If you have big loose ends, tape them up. Make sure that your slings are secured. I cannot tell you how many rifles I've watched fall off of people's bodies over the years. So many. Because their slings were not properly, effectively installed. Independence Training Gear Moment brought to you by TrainingAZ.com. All right. Our topic for this week, carrying an extra magazine and staging ammo, should you or should you not? Every time I think about staging ammo, I remember the story I read so many years ago in SWAT magazine back when they still existed. And I read this article about this cop who had gotten to this running gunfight. So he pulled a guy over. He gets into this gunfight with him that proceeds to happen over a relatively large area. And eventually the cop is down to like his last four fucking rounds on his body. He manages to finally isolate, neutralize the threat. But when he does an ammo check, he's got like four freaking rounds left. And it really freaked him out. And he fired a shitload of ammo, like a shitload. And so then this article was about where and how he stages ammo. He's like staging it in every card or staging it in his trunk, staging more. And, you know, he carries extra ammo on his body, carries a backup gun with the same mags, like super, super, super into having extra ammo. And I have always been of the thought process of I've never been sad about having extra ammo, but I'm sure been sad about damn near running out. And so it's a humbling thought when you look down and go, we're almost out of ammo. We are almost out of ammo. And we still have, the fight's still on, and we're almost out of ammo. Especially when people rock their little 7-8 round, you know, 10 round fucking guns and don't carry a reload. And they go by that old adage of like, well, the guy in the gun store said, if you can't get it done in 5 rounds, you must not be a very good shooter. And it's Jesus. Like anybody who makes statements like that, there's one thing I instantaneously know about them. They've never been in a gunfight. That is the immediate fucking thing I know about them. Never once, not even a simulated gunfight. Because man, does fucking ammo go fast.
It's just a dumb statement to begin. It's like saying this. Would you rather have a 5-gallon capacity gas tank or a 10-gallon capacity gas tank with an extra 5-gallon in the trunk? You know what I mean? Like, I get it for some people for their jobs and lifestyles and, you know, clothing and stuff they have to wear in professional settings. You might not be able to get away with, you know, an extra mag on your hip or something like that, but I mean, keeping it in a backpack or your staging pockets. Them in the vehicles, you know. I'm not opposed to it whatsoever. I mean, I do it, so.
And that's where it's not just carrying the ammo, but also potentially staging it, like you mentioned, right? Like, yeah. Maybe you can't carry a magazine on you, or maybe you do carry a magazine on you. There's nothing wrong with staging more ammo. So even if you carry a magazine, you should still stage more ammo. And if you don't carry a magazine, you should damn sure be staging ammo.
Yeah.
You should be staging at least ammo, if not loaded magazines, every fucking place you can. I literally have loaded magazines for my daily carry everywhere. They're in my chest rig, in my truck, my little chest pack that has nothing to do with guns. They're in my plate carrier that I keep in my truck. They're in the side door. They're in my nightstand drawer. They're upstairs. They're in my hunting pack. They're fucking everywhere, dude. Magazines are cheap, dude.
Yeah.
They should be everywhere. My magazine floats around between my purse. My pocket.
Like, yeah, I don't know about your extra mag. It's definitely not going to be accessible in a hurry. That's for sure.
Yes, I mean, it is. I know where it is every single time.
Two extra mags.
When I find it. Hey, babe, do you know your magazine? It's in my pocket. Are you sure about
that? I was in the washing machine today.
It feels like it's in my hand right now.
Yeah, I've got two in my car, loaded mags, and one in my backpack, on my nightstand. And that's pretty much it.
What would you not want?
Well, and you can like
extra ammo.
You could always plus up or plus down too, you know? Like if you're like, this is a spot where I can really just get my gun in and nothing else, it's like, okay, cool, I'll just dump it. Not dump it, but like leave it in the car, leave it in the backpack or whatever. And then if I'm like, man, I kinda, you know, want an extra mag, okay, cool, I've got my, I don't know, maybe you're driving through the west side at night for work or something, and you've got your carry gun and you've got an extra mag, but you're like, man, that is a lot of fucking sketchy people out here. And so now you take the one from your car and you just shove it in a pocket. Now I've got, you know, 40 fucking rounds. It's, I don't know. I just like the idea of being able to plus up or plus down as needed, you know?
I think a lot of it, too, I hear a lot from different people and their different sides. And I think what most people are worried about is the fact that, and something that I have also been fallen victim to, is having your car being broken into and that shit stolen, which is something that you do have to consider, especially if you are staging mags in a glove box, in one of those center console boxes, underneath the seat or anything like that. I had a mag stolen for me, a spare mag that I had kept in my purse when my purse got stolen. So getting your car broken into and having your truck gun stolen or spare mags, or I have a blue box that I have a plate carrier in, and it has a couple AR mags and a couple pistol mags in there, that if someone would have you have to kind of dig into my blue box a little bit, but to find it, but it's there if someone was going to take the time to actually look. The guy that broke into my 4Runner was kind of a snatch and grab, like he left my computer bag but took my purse. And unfortunately, that is a reality that people do have to understand, that is a possibility. So what does a mag cost, and what are your self-defense rounds going to cost up to?
See, that's the thing.
It may or may not happen. And if you hide them properly, the likelihood of somebody not finding them, like I think maybe even taping them somewhere, just showing that you know where they are, but other people don't. And a glove box and a center console box are really easy to stage magazines. And that's like the number one place that people are going to look when they're breaking into your shit. So maybe tape them somewhere might be a better possibility.
Yeah, I would rather lose a couple magazines than lose like a truck gun, though. That's why I'm still on the fence with the whole truck gun thing, because I think it's too shitty of a loss, where it's like, if I just carry, I'd rather put 10 fucking loaded pistol mags for my daily carry in my truck than a truck gun.
Yeah.
I obviously do not have the same capability as a rifle. Yeah, whatever. But I've got 10, you know, 20-round mags for my carry gun. And if those get lost, it's like, okay, cool. That's what, like $60 in magazines? Another 60 in ammo?
And it's not that bad. It sucks the bad guy's getting that, but that's not necessarily enhancing his capability greatly.
No, it's like,
I mean,
okay,
it is a little bit. He's getting more ammo, which sucks. But
if he doesn't have my gun.
The idea of him running out there with a high-quality AR is not
exactly
my fucking
And that's why it's like, I would rather just theoretically carry a bunch of extra mags for my carry gun than a truck gun.
My idea of having extra mags is, like, Gabe, I want the mag exchange, man. I want to be able to plus up. Like, I just want to be able to, like, okay, I just finished a fight. I'm going to jump in my truck and drive across the street. I'm going to grab that fucking big mag. I'm going to plus up.
Yep. Yep.
You know, that way I have a full tank of gas.
I just like it for the versatility.
Yep. Boom. I got a full tank of gas. I'm in business.
Yep.
So I like even a magazine on my hip. I am a huge proponent. We all are of carrying extra magazines on your body. If I'm going to carry an extra magazine in my body, it is primarily to plus up. It is primarily for that magazine exchange. Not because I anticipate there being a second fight that's going to take 12 rounds, but because I don't want to have to do anything else with my gun and have a reduced capacity magazine. It just doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I do not anticipate getting in a 6v1 on the side of the road or in the parking lot. It's just to do a little hot swap and give myself that peace of mind.
The second reason I'm a huge proponent of extra magazines, especially carrying them on your body, is just you can have a $2,500 Zev or whatever, and you can have a $500 police trade-in Glock 19, and they both take the same damn magazines. So the magazine on any weapon system is the weakest link. Again, I can have a $3,000 badass AR-15 or a $500 Palmetto State AR-15. They take the same fucking magazines. Even if I'm getting the high-end magazines, it's still not really that great of magazines. So I want extra magazines to fix problems, malfunctions. Magazines break. Magazines wear out. Magazines have weird stoppages. Rounds get stuck in them. All kinds of weird shit happens with magazines. So not regularly, but we see it. I mean, we had a magazine break yesterday in class. Like, it happens all the fucking time. It really honestly does. We see magazines go tits up.
And
especially off-brand magazines. Oh my God!
Well, that's the thing is, are you gonna potentially put your life on the line for one magazine that may be faulty, but you don't train with it enough to realize that it's faulty, instead of having a backup magazine that you can easily access and utilize if there's something that does go down with your primary mag?
Yeah, so I look and go, shit, my gun's not running. Okay, what's the problem? It's fucking magazine related? Fuck
Fix
that.
Magazine.
Adios magazine, fresh magazine coming in.
And that's typically the first thing that we look at when there is a malfunction with a gun is obviously the rounds, the magazine is the first thing that we go to. We unload the mag, check the gun, reload maybe a fresh mag or same mag, and if it's still going tits up, then we just fucking kill the mag.
Magazines we see that a lot, especially in the AR platforms or with any of the off-brand, like Glock magazines, off-brand Staccato magazines. I mean, shit, we had one of our students the other day running a really high-end, beautiful Staccato in class, running off-brand. It wasn't really off-brand. It was actually the actual manufacturer of the magazines, but they weren't the Staccato variant of it. And it was just a fucking shit show, man.
And it almost cost him Top Shot.
It damn near did, yeah. So, and that was just because the magazines are hiccuping. So, again, malfunctions are often related to ammunition feeding or magazines. So that's another thing to consider. Another thing to consider is balance, you know. I mean, I've got a gun on my hip. If I wear my gun, sometimes I'll wear a gun like my go-out gun, my little revolver that I carry. Carry it in the same position as my Glock. But I carry my reloads in my right pocket, clipped to my pocket. And it feels weird knowing I have a gun on my right hip and no magazine on my left hip. Like, I can actually feel the difference. I can feel how it feels different. So, I mean, that's a thing. So, for me, balance, so the ability to balance out that carry load, for me, it's made a difference over the years, for sure. You can use extra magazines as impromptu striking tools. I don't want to. I don't want to beat someone up with the thing that feeds my weapon bullets. But if I have to, that's all I'll fucking do. You know, if I have to improvise this thing as a striking tool, it is a thing that can be relatively dense depending on the manufacturer or the make of the magazine. You know, versus whether it's metal or all polymer or whatever. Too often, people don't consider managing multiple threats. You know, they're not considering managing a threat now and a threat later and a threat over here and a threat over there. If I jump in my vehicle, I'm trying to get the fuck out of this area, and I run into one peaceful protest and I have to handle myself, and then I run into another peaceful protest and I have to handle myself. I run into another peaceful protest and I have to handle myself. I'm going to start running out of ammo really quick. So from a typical self-defense in the parking lot against one or two muggers, no, one magazine is probably more than enough, more than enough. But expanding your context of what might possibly be available to you to happen, I might need to manage multiple threats, and that means multiple freaking magazines every time. The ability on a just a general most basic manipulation of the gun, I fucking run out of ammo. Carry an extra magazine in case I just flat out go to slide lock and I need more fucking ammo. I think this is even more important if you are running a gun that carries 6, 7, 8 rounds. You know, an old Shield or something like that. It doesn't have a lot of ammo in it. You should definitely be carrying a reload. You would be surprised how fast your ammo goes in a fight. And I don't want to have more fight and a slide lock pistol and no way to defeat it.
Yeah, if my gun did not have a 17 plus one capacity, like I had like an 8 or a 7 or something like that, I would be, fuck, I might even carry like 2 mags because now I'm reaching regular capacity of any other pistol in reality. You know what I mean? Because it's like if I go from a 7 to a 7, it's like, I don't know, that's not a lot more. And if I'm going to a slide lock reload, this is probably a pretty hairy situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the other thing is, too, it's like on some guns, you could carry a 12 flush fit and then carry a 17 and it'll still go. But mm-hmm. some of those other guns, they don't, that's not even an option. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just 7 to 7 or 9 to 9 or whatever it might be.
So the last kind of note I have here about staging ammunition is looking at large-scale events. I stage ammo. I have ammo staged all over the fucking place. I get ammo at my parents. I get ammo at my son's. I got ammo at the office. I got ammo in Drew's truck. I got ammo in my truck. I got ammo at the house. Any place I can stage ammo, I fucking stage ammo. Any fucking place I can stage it. Loaded mags preferably.
You know? Fuck jamming mags if in a time crunch.
Yeah, fuck all that. So it's like, and how do you stage them? Well, you can stage them in lock boxes. You can lock them up. You can put them in cash boxes or cachet box, however you fucking want to say that.
Vacuum sealed.
You can stage them in bandos. I'm a huge fan of bandoliers. It's a standard U.S. military bandolier. I've got some different kits at the house. I stage ammo for different guns. You know, I've got like my light support weapon that has a certain type of ammo. I've got my DM that's got a certain type of ammo, and then I have my go-to fighting gun, and that's got a certain type of ammo. So staging that ammunition around, I can't stress it enough. Have ammo. Everywhere you look, there should be ammunition for your gun. It should never be like, oh, shit, I don't have enough ammo to finish this fight or to grab and go. And so for me, staging ammo should also be on a grab-and-go concept. I should be able to grab my plate carrier, grab my chest rig, and grab a supplemental kit with more ammunition and other stuff, water filtration and comms and med and all the other stuff we talk about. But the ability to just grab-and-go on a chest rig or a plate carrier, whatever it may be, is critically important from my perspective on how you ought to be staging ammo.
Yeah, the USGI bandoliers laid flat because those are, what, 6 mags in?
Yeah, six
in there. In like a JanSport, you could fit 6 of those flat packed inside of a JanSport. That's a lot of rounds. You know, if you just have one of those staged and you just grab it and go it and you already know you've got, you know, 30 mags loaded up or more, it's a pretty good start.
Oh, hell yeah, it is.
You know?
So, I mean, when it comes to staging ammunition, like, I can't stress enough keeping an extra magazine, with you on your body, keeping them staged around, and just keeping ready-to-go ammunition staged in various locations in your life. Wherever you can reasonably do so, you should be staging ammo. I think it's critically important. I never want to be in a situation where I don't have enough rounds.
Yeah.
So that's really all I have on the topic.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward concept, you know.
Yeah.
I like the idea.
I think you're ignorant if you don't have spare mags.
Yeah.
I think you're overconfident. I think you're unrealistic. I think your fantasy doesn't match reality. Extra fucking ammo is necessary. Extra mags are necessary. Stage that shit. It's important.
Yeah, I like the idea of having like the little caches. Because, I mean, fuck, you have no clue where you might be when something kicks off. And it's like, okay, going back to home right now, for now, is not an option because of this reason. But I know over at Buddy's house, 20 minutes away, I can make it there. And I've got a little chess rig with 3, 4, 5 mags there. You know,
or
I can
at the office.
At least I can get
office.
Yeah.
Swing by your parents' house or swing by like your buddy.
Yeah,
anywhere.
Like if
yeah.
my primary route is a no go, I've got an alternate to pick at least something up that's going to help me get a better shot to getting back to my primary.
It's nothing to grab a JanSport backpack, buy from Goodwill for $5.
Yeah.
Put a bando, a 6 mags in it, a water filter, a radio, you know, some snacks. Some med gear, you know, a knife, stuff like that, just important stuff that'll fit in the bag, and go, hey, man, can you put this in the back of your closet in the middle of nowhere? And if I ever come ask you for it, just fucking give it to me.
Yeah.
And hell yeah, dude, that's a great way to freaking cache that shit. Put it somewhere where, you know, your parents or your friends or wherever, at your office, you know, just stash it back someplace. No one's really going to bother it. So be looking at places you can keep and stage ammunition at all times.
The other thing is, too, is like it's not – dangerous either. It's like it's just the ammo.
It's gonna sit
you
there.
Know, it's like not like you're stashing a gun with the ammo. If someone's worried about that, it's like, okay, they've got half the tool. Whatever. You know.
Fitness moment with Drew. What you got?
So what I have for you today is being capable of getting to your cache. Are you able to get to your cache if you don't have a vehicle? That's what I have.
That's it? That was the whole thing?
Yeah. Don't be fat.
All right.
I saw the fattest person today when we were at lunch.
He was a pretty fat person.
It was absolutely
it was quite a behemoth.
Disgusting.
I actually looked, obviously. Like, yes. I looked and was like, God damn. Like,
she was,
how do you not look at that?
She was sitting behind Glenn, and we're sitting there chatting at lunch today. And I'm honestly shocked she didn't break the motherfucking chair. She was so fucking fat.
She's a big bitch.
And, she, of course, she's wearing black because black hides fat.
No, it doesn't. You look like a giant fucking shadow indoors.
No, we were outside sitting on the patio.
Okay, so now you just look like a giant fucking shadow.
We were sitting there, and then the two other people that were with her were also equally fat, but not as fat as her.
They were not equally fat. They were also fat.
They were very, very, very fat. Not as fat as she was. She was super fucking huge. And I'm just like, my God.
She was a massive human being.
Could she fit in a rowboat?
No.
Okay.
No. She could not. I'm surprised she could fit in a car, to be honest with you. She was so fucking fat that she would have to be, like, chair all the way extended so her gut doesn't hit into the steering wheel. And so I was thinking about it, and then we were talking about the show today briefly. And so I'm sitting there thinking, like, looking at this person, if something happened, and let's just say she's a CCW holder and she carries
I fucking doubt it.
Hold on.
Come on,
Gabe. Maybe that's what she was carrying.
Gabe,
you don't know.
Gabe, this is my whole point of
concealed
my freaking
concealed chocolate carrier.
Oh, my God.
Concealed cholesterol carrier.
But my thing is, okay, let's just say, are you fit enough?
I can't even do this hypothetical with you, Drew. It's too fucking far-fetched. All right, third time. Thrice times the charm.
Thrice we shall try.
But are you fit enough if you're sitting in a restaurant and your vehicle is parked not as close to the restaurant doors as you would like it to be? I like how you're just staring at Gabe.
If there's a small incline, I guarantee she's beating you, Drew.
If there's a wheelchair ramp, she's out.
All right, I give up.
Break
and the thrice time you failed.
Break the fucking sound
I
barrier.
Give up. All I'm saying is, are you fit enough to get to your vehicle for a higher level of care, right? Whether that's your med kit, your extra magazines, or anything else. Can you possibly, outrun.
Outwaddle. Outroll.
Drew, you have shuffle. Drew, this is a very, very good fitness moment. And I get what you're saying, but the picture has already been put in my mind of like the thing happening in this behemoth, just like
now get to the car,
Gabe,
waddling out, and then hitting the car and just like bam, denting the fuck out of it.
I almost, hey, do you know that happened to the Forerunner? Someone dented my Forerunner for being too fat. No, it was their hand.
I would have been enraged.
So we were at David.
Is this still part of the MRC fitness moment?
It is. So okay. We were at, this is, stop being fucking fat, you fucking fat assholes. So we were walking out, we were at Desert Ridge taking the kids down to Dave and Buster's, and we had walked out, and I'm like, what the fuck is this motherfucking dent? And it was that pillar that's in between my second door and the back windshield. And it was a perfect handprint of a handprint.
Could be a heavy
that
bitch.
Somebody fucking fell and they caught themselves on the Forerunner. So I call my brother and he's like, yeah, it was a fat person that fell on your vehicle. It's a perfect handprint. Yes. So I call Glenn and I'm like, some fucking fat person fell on my goddamn Forerunner and now I have a massive motherfucking dent.
Yes.
And Glenn's like, yeah, they're fat. What do you expect?
That's got to be a heavy bitch to do that. Like 350, 400. They're just like, oh, fuck. Bam!
And they walked in between mine and Glenn's trucks because we parked right next to each other. So it wasn't any of us. We had parked. So it was somebody that walked in between. So the story that my brother was like, yeah, it's a fucking handprint. Some fat fucking asshole fell on your vehicle and caught their fucking fall. I hope my Forerunner broke their goddamn face. That's all I have to say.
I hope my Forerunner broke their face.
I'm still mad about it to this day because I had to pay for the dent to get out of some fucking fat person who should die. Either way, don't be so fucking fat you can't get to your vehicle to get your shit, whether it's a med kit or spare mags or anything else. Stop being so motherfucking fat. I hate fat people.
That's the moral of the story right there. All right? Is that the moral story?
Don't be so fucking fat.
Okay. In the inclusive McKellar Running Club, where all people are invited to attend, I guess, unless you're fat.
That's not true. We have some.
What the? No! Don't go back on what you just fucking said.
Don't touch Drew's fucking Forerunner, though, I guess.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Don't fucking touch my Forerunner, man. We paid a lot of money for my Forerunner. I don't need fat people hands on my Forerunner.
And with that, fitness moment brought to you by MRC McKellar Running Club Phoenix. Monday night runs 6:30 at Chupacabra in Mesa. Wednesday night runs 6:30 at Dad's Fine Eatery in Scottsdale.
I heard Gabe was coming tonight.
If you're fat, I guess show up but be ready to be mocked.
Not by me, by you.
No, I don't mock fat people.
Wait.
What the fuck? Who just went? Okay, you know what you just witnessed right there, Gabe? That was exactly how Drew fights with me. That is exactly what fucking happens. I didn't fucking say a goddamn thing. You know what I mean? And that shit I just got accused of something I didn't even fucking say.
That did a 180 fucking fast as fuck.
If you're fat and you show up to an MRC event and I'm there, I'll encourage you. Because remember what I always say. I only hate the fat people that aren't trying.
Yes.
If you're the fat people who are trying, God bless you, and I want you to keep fucking trying.
I didn't say that.
And I want you to keep kicking ass, and I want you to keep trying really, really fucking hard. If you're the fat people who aren't trying, like this fat bitch of fucking Fate Brewing today.
She was not trying.
I said it. You're like the fat bitch who's not trying. I fucking said that. I don't like that.
I like fat people who
are. I almost like hit up Gabe and said, hey, dude, we're going to be really fucking late. Because I really want to see this thing walk.
I would have been totally fine with that. I would have been like, wait, where are you guys at?
It's like, have you ever sat at the zoo and you watch an animal for like a long time? Like, I just want to see this motherfucker do something. You know what I mean? Like, you just like, you'll stare at the gorilla or the fucking hippo or whatever. And you're like, I just want to see this bitch get up. You know what I mean? Like, waddle over here, fatty. You know what I mean? Like, get over here. I just want to see it fucking do a thing. I paid money to come. Okay, hold on.
We should have thrown a cheeseburger at her.
Fat people zoo.
I almost sent you a photo of her, Gabe, because she was probably the biggest person I've ever seen in my life.
She's big.
You know what? Well, we're in the same vein. So we're at the store a couple weeks ago, and I see, like, you know those, like, at Walmart, those big crates where they put, like, shit in right by the checkouts where it's like 99-cent candy or Hostess cakes and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so I see, yeah, like just like throwaway shit. So I see these kids like over there, and I see like the top of someone's head, and I see like hands reaching in and just like ripping everything out of one of these things.
Big fat person.
And so I'm like, walk over.
Every time.
And I turn the corner, and it's like a young dude, but he was fucking mad. I mean, he was in one of the scooter things.
Oh, dude.
And it was like struggling. And he was spilling over the sides of it and just loading the front car to that thing with Hostess cakes and candy and shit.
This is someone who's not trying.
And I was like,
for
me, the worst part of it was in front of his kids, and then his kids were like grabbing him too. And I was like, okay, so not only are you so gross and disgusting that I don't even want to look at you, but now you're going to make your kids so gross and disgusting that my kids will not want to look at them either in the future. You sick fucking thing.
You are creating unhealthy images for my children.
Yeah.
My children don't want to look at your fat children.
Yeah.
I don't want to look at your fat children. If you're a fat child, if you're a parent of fat children, know that you failed in every way a parent can fail.
I do.
I don't get it. How in the fuck? I'm not talking about chubby kids. I'm not talking about hefty kids. I'm not talking about husky kids. I'm not talking about whatever. I'm talking about fucking obese children. If you have no neck, you are fucking obese, and you should not be here with me on this planet.
Did I tell you what just happened to me at the post office about the fat person that cut me off? Because she told me that she has a medical condition.
I just stomped her right in her fucking
face. So here's what happened. So
it's called being fat as fuck. That's your medical condition.
I went to go to the post office, and I'm standing in line, and the person goes next in line. They're looking at me, waved to me to come over, and some fucking fat bitch comes out of nowhere, cuts me off, goes up there. The lady behind me goes, wow, that was super fucking rude. So then the next person in the post office was like, ma'am, you can come up to see me, because she just witnessed what happened. So I walk up. I'm like, wow, I didn't know that fat people could just cut people off like that. And she goes, I have a medical condition. I go, yeah, because you're too fucking fat. You can't fucking walk.
What is the medical? I always love fat people's medical conditions.
I was so
Listen up. I don't think anyone who listens to this show is like, happily fat, okay? But
this bitch,
somehow
she waddled like really fast.
That was my question. How did she cut you off? How did you not see her coming?
Like, what is she like?
She was like, I was next in line. And I'm like, no, the fuck you were not. And the lady behind me was like, dude, she totally just cut you off. And I go, yeah, I guess medical conditions are fucking
I'm still with Gabe on how did she cut you off.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, if it's the same post office, the one right here, the lanes are pretty narrow. So if she took one step, she would have clogged up
the
whole lane.
Right next to the office.
Okay. I could get.
Yeah. Okay. And she wasn't.
I could get down with that.
I don't know where she was fucking standing because there was a big old long line behind us.
But you couldn't see her either?
No. I wasn't
so some fat chick materialized out of nowhere and cut you off.
I wasn't focusing.
Were you on your
fat
phone?
People. No, I was not. Right. I was standing there and I was writing on my box because, of course, the post office job is to not write the address on the box. You have to fucking do it because apparently that's not their job motherfucking either.
It's not their job.
What the fuck? Yes, it is.
It's never been their job to write the
address on the package.
They print it out. They type it in the computer
and
print it out.
That's fine, but they don't have to write it on the box.
They made me write it on the box, and they went and fucking printed it and then took the print, and I had to fucking tape it on the box.
Man, this sounds like a really tough time.
Not happy at the post office the other day. I was pissed.
Apparently.
Because they made me write on the fucking box, and then they're like, is this the right address? So I turned my phone to say, this is the address. And then they're like, okay. So then they type it in their stupid little motherfucking computers, print something off, and then fucking hand it to me.
Man,
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me right now? You made me write on the motherfucking box, and then you're taking this stupid fucking print off that you just did, and then I have to tape it over my fucking handwriting? I was so fucking goddamn pissed. I hate the post office.
Those are federal agents you're talking about. Have some respect.
Fuck those
idiots. Yeah. Those are federal agents.
And so you know what I did? I stole their pen. The guy's like, where's my pen? I'm like, I don't know. I left it over on the counter.
Oh, you show him, Drew.
Man, you stole federal property?
Yes.
You know that there are federal postmasters that are technically federal agents that carry guns?
True. That is true. Federal postmasters.
Fuck those people.
You say that now to the post office SWAT team kicks in our fucking door looking for a post office pen.
Wait till the post office HRT team is knocking on your door.
You know what I did with that pen? I went and threw it in their own trash. And I'm like, fuck this pen. Fuck this post office. Fuck this pen.
Now you've destroyed government property.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't destroy shit.
You
it's
threw
intact.
It away in the trash.
It's intact. They have to go get it.
They're not going to do that.
That's not my problem.
You wasted. That's called wasting finite resources.
You're right. Just that's like a, how they left all those guys
that's a ticketable offense.
Afghanistan.
Easy now. You don't accuse federal agents of anything.
Hey.
Federal agents accuse you of everything. You don't know how this game works.
We just got off the watch list for another 3 weeks. Me and Glenn, not you, Drew. You're still on, but man. Glenn and I are in the good graces of the federal government now.
Yeah, we're like, whoa, easy. You should respect. Okay, here, one of my favorite times during COVID, I got to say this. One of my favorite times during COVID was how everyone were heroes. Nurses were heroes. TikTok dancing nurses were heroes, right? Oh, but my favorite heroes, my favorite hero posters was I went to the post office to drop off a package during COVID. And which if we could just remember for a second these insane times, okay? So I go to the post office to drop off a package and they have a huge sign up at the post office. Printed by the post office for the post office saying how heroic the post office workers are because they're working during COVID and they're heroes.
Those letters are fucking dangerous. Okay.
And I was like, now hold on just a goddamn second. I'm not a big fan of the use hero. I don't think everyone who served in the military is a hero. I don't think our cops are heroes. I don't think firefighters are heroes. Some of them are, certainly. But not
when they do heroic things.
They do heroic things, and that they're heroes.
That's what makes you a hero.
Definition, right? But I'm like, but I'm not going to stand up and listen to this fucking horse shit. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, thank you, heroes. And then it was like, post office banner, post printed by the post office to be shown at the post office, calling the post office heroes. That is the most narcissistic fucking shit on the planet.
No, you know what's worse is all the nurses who would – I don't even know how a sane human being gets to this point. They would set up their phone, hit record, walk into the hallway and start crying and be like, I lost another patient today.
Oh, yeah. How do you even emotionally set
that up? That's the thing. It's
up.
Like, it's like, I'm going to keep it together. Okay. Let me set up my camera. And then I let all the tears go.
I let it all out.
And I'm like, how does a normal human being even think that?
I
hate you.
I could say, you know, most nurses, I can understand them doing it once, maybe even twice.
No. Wait,
but not
wait,
thrice.
You're talking about. As soon as you said it twice, I knew it was coming.
I don't understand that either. I don't understand like the beg for attention type shit, especially the shit that happened during COVID. I will tell you, I have fond memories of COVID. Here are my fond memories of COVID.
Here's a fond memory right here. Here's the statistics of the deaths.
Worldwide deaths.
Not COVID.
Here's my fond memories of COVID. One, open freeways. There
was
nobody on the
nice.
Freeways. Two, Drew and I traveled several times during COVID. Open planes, open beaches, open everything. Open hotels. Everything was just open. There was fucking nobody doing anything. We were happily living our lives. I even got to teach Drew how to do a little beach takeover. I'll have to tell you about that. It's a funny fucking story. So,
it was hilarious.
Those are my fond memories. Other fond memories I have, arguing with cops about the Constitution. That was a fun memory. And dealing with people who felt like caution taping off playgrounds. Can you?
Remember the lady that
dude,
yelled
you told,
at Caitlin
hold on.
And
if,
Kyle and I?
If you would have told 20-year-old machine gun toting Glenn that sometime in the future, your not even existent children will have to not play outside on the playground because there's apparently a flu going around and your kids are not allowed on the playground equipment because they might get the flu or spread the flu or something about the flu. I would have been like, get fucked with that dystopian shit. That sounds like a fucking science fiction horror movie. And then literally there I am years later, two decades later, living it, looking at it going, what the fuck? What the fuck is even this? I remember taking my kids to the playground and getting harassed by cops. during COVID several times. And this is one of the reasons, like, this is one of the reasons we bag on cops sometimes on the show. I understand they that an won't. Individual cop. Now, here's the thing. Here's the funny thing about when we bag on cops, because I got to say this.
They wouldn't. But I know my buddy.
Bro, my brother's a cop.
And his buddies.
They wouldn't do it. They'll do whatever the fuck they are fucking told to do.
Yeah.
That's what the fuck they'll do. They shut down businesses. They ruined people's fucking lives. They arrested people. I had to get harangued by them at the fucking park and have a stupid conversation with two stupid badge-wearing motherfuckers who were just, quote-unquote, doing their jobs.
I don't make the rules.
Because I took my kids to the park. I'm like, fuck it, dude. I'm going to the park. And we're playing at the park. So you're not supposed to be here. Why? Why am I supposed to be? Well, you know. Okay, there's no city ordinance. There's no law. Why in the fuck are you even motherfucking talking to me? Why the fuck are you even fucking talking to me? Get the fuck away from me. You have no fucking right to be standing here. And I told so many cops during that time, including during a run club event, where I turned to a cop and said, he was haranguing us during a fucking run club. We're all sitting in a outside, sitting in camp chairs after a running event, drinking beer, having fun, eating pretzels, whatever. Cops come up, someone reported you guys are more than 6 feet. And I turn to the guy and I go, this can't have been your childhood dream. This can't be of what you wanted to do. This can't be it. This can't be what you wanted to do. There's no fucking way a little you was like running around playing cops and robbers in the yard. Bang, bang, I got you. I got you because you didn't follow mask mandates. That can't have been you as a child. What happened was over the years you got weak and pathetic and drummed down and run down and complacent and apathetic. And you just conformed so that you could get your pension and your insurance. The next time someone tells me they keep a job for insurance, I'm going to kick them hard enough they have to go to the fucking hospital.
So they can use their fucking insurance.
Every time someone keeps a job for the insurance, I'm like, you're a weak motherfucker. You keep your job so that you don't have to pay medical bills? What the fuck? Look, unless your wife has, like, cancer or something, unless you, like, need your insurance, you're going to go fucking broke. Like, fuck you, man. Get fucking stronger, dude. What the fuck? Get stronger in every fucking way you can possibly get strong. Where the fuck did this show just go?
Where they always fucking go.
We were almost done.
We were ending. Wait, and I
hang on. Okay. We went back to where we always go. Bagging on cops, bagging on nurses, bagging on fat people.
Fat people.
The fucking trinity of the show.
Whoa. Thrice there are things.
Thrice things we fucking hate. It's just like that. Not even going to.
All right. You can bring us out to train with you if you want all these opinions, hard opinions in person, which people like.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing about the show. Here really is the thing about it. This is why I keep doing it. I don't really like doing the show that much, just so everybody knows. It really takes a lot of my time and energy. But here's why I like doing it. Because every time I think I want to quit or don't do it anymore, someone emails me and says, thanks for saying the things I want to say. Again, I believe – I tell our instructors all the time. This is a conversation Daryl and Gabe and I had yesterday after the carbine class. Don't forget they don't know what you know. Right? That's thing number one. Don't forget that you don't know what they know. Or they don't know what you know, I mean. They're here to get instruction from you because they don't know what you know. And in that same vein, I take for granted who I get to spend my days around.
100%.
I get to hang around people just like me for the most part. I get to hang around Drew and Gabe and Daryl and Josh and Adele and Brandon and Matt, all these cool fucking people. All my friends are cool people. All the people I hang out with are fun people to be around. Now, I get to say faggot every time I want. If I want to make fun of trannies, and I don't mean transmissions. I mean fucking weird people who manipulate and tear apart their bodies. Like, I can do that. And I'm not going to get fired from my job. I'm sure somewhere in the future I'm going to get like hate speech fines or something like that. But as of right now.
Your social credit score went down.
Yeah, my social credit score is going down or whatever. I get to do whatever I want. I get to say whatever I want. And as of right now, that's still okay. I'm not in a job like so many of our listeners are where they're frustrated, man, because they don't get to say what we get to say. They hear it and they love it because it's what they fucking believe. It's what they want to say. It's what they feel in their hearts. But they don't get to fucking say it because they are going to lose their job. Or they're in a relationship with someone who they don't totally necessarily get along with or agree with, and they're trying to figure out how to navigate this because they don't want to lose this person they love or whatever. And so they don't get to speak their fucking minds. And that sucks, man. I've been there. Not in the job thing, but in relationships where I don't get to speak my mind. You know, and that sucks. And if you're in a job where you don't get to speak your mind, that sucks. And I honestly do. I often take that for granted. I know I do. I have to remind myself constantly, like, dude, you get to do things other people don't get to do typically, you know, and you gotta remember that. I think we gotta remember that. Anyway, bring us out to train with you. info@trainingaz.com. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as the Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and MRC McKellar Running Club Phoenix. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Next week, our show is gonna be Don't Cheap Out on Technical Medical Gear. We're going to tell you about what you can save money on and what you need to spend good money on. Until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.